Developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can go through the website, see their codes of conduct, see what educational resources they have, so you can become a member, so you can donate, and just everything the organization does for the black community. And once again, that website is www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, Enigma September, and all of the current shows that we have. And you might learn about some of these new shows we got coming to the thing, you know what I'm talking about? If everything work out, if God's willing, you heard me, Pat?
I heard you.
God's willing. You better all nobody. Over. You better nobody. If you don't know, now you know.
Sucker.
You know what I'm talking about? What's been going down, man?
You know. Yeah. All of that. Put it time.
Hey, man. If you ain't doing it, why do it?
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? Hey, man, if Pootie don't tang, then Tang ain't really got no Pootie.
Right.
Straight up, B.
I don't know how that worked with Pootie Tang being a dude.
Is he, though?
Oh, I see what you did there.
You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Say, though, you got to be inclusive.
You know what? You're right. I think Pootie Tang, you know what? We don't know what Pootie Tang, so I get you. Ta-da-ta.
Sa-da-te, man. Sa-da-te. Oh, man. There's been a lot of crazy stuff going on this past week. Hey, I told you about the dude who got stabbed up in Tallahassee. I mean, the dude who went on the stabbing spree.
Nah,
I showed you that article.
You mentioned somebody went on the stabbing spree, but you ain't give us no details.
I thought I shared the link of it in the little group thingy had, the group text.
Maybe you did, but I don't remember seeing it.
All right, let me pull it up real quick before we jump into our topics.
You ain't tell the audience, though.
All right, so I live in Tallahassee, Florida. We don't really, stuff like that don't really happen. People get stabbed, but it ain't like mass stabbings. Like, people get shot, but it ain't a lot of mass shootings. But there has been a mass shooting here at the hot yoga place a couple years ago. Then just this past week, we had a mass stabbing. So it was like an employee stabbed five people at a Florida workplace after a dispute. So the suspect in a mass stabbing Wednesday at a Florida workplace is facing charges of attempted homicide and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without the intent to kill, according to the court records. His name is Antoine D. Brown. He's 41 years old. He's accused of stabbing five co-workers with a folding knife at Dyke Industries in Tallahassee, Florida. He faces five counts of attempted homicide and one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Basically, dude got reprimanded, got mad, and clocked out. And 2 minutes later, he went to stabbing. And it's a black dude. And it's like, two anomalies, a mass stabbing and a black dude in Tallahassee. Like, ain't that a bitch?
I mean, you know.
The world coming to an end.
Yeah, it's rubbing off on us, man.
The world coming to an end, like the Christians say. I don't know, though. Like, yeah, it's rubbing off. We think we're adopting them cultures.
Yeah.
You all right?
Yeah, man. I don't know what's going on, man. Cough just jumped up on me. But,
yeah, but that's smoking them tweets.
Nah, you know, I don't smoke nothing. I don't smoke.
You don't
need it. I don't drink.
Yeah. I know. It just sounded good for me to say.
But, yeah, you know, that shit is rubbing off on us because we can't say we under more stress now than we've ever been or more pressure. We've always been under pressure. So, only thing that makes sense is man, hang around white people a little bit too much.
The crazy ones, huh?
Right.
Get you some new friends.
White people.
Get you some new friends.
Hey, man.
Don't hang around the volatile ones.
Hey, it's going to be solidified for me the moment black kids start shooting up black schools. Yep, that's it. Stop letting your kids watch white TV shows. Stop doing it.
Can't even use white notebook paper.
Mm-mm. Because, you know, all of the pressure we've been under all these years, we've had shows about this, both on this show and on my personal show we talked about on Lessons from the Screen, where we broke all that down, even going through the numbers of most of the mass shootings in American history. And
it's been white, man, white men specifically.
Yeah, it's been like one or two of them were Native Americans, one or two of them were, you know, blah, 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 but the overwhelming majority of them, white people, white boys. So, I don't know, but anytime anybody else do it, I'd be like, yep, that's too much white culture.
Well, like I was, I think it was Friday or Saturday, I saw something. I think it was CNN or Fox or C-SPAN, one of them news channels they had. Beto O'Rourke, I think they were saying he was going to vow to do away with automatic weapons. And I was on Twitter at the time, so I'm tweeting and stuff, and I'm like, man, you know, that's cool that you want to take away the weapons and stuff, but if you don't curb the behavior, I mean, people who are terrorists, they're not going to stop being terrorists because you take away guns. I mean, you got to curb the behavior and things like that, man. So
yeah, you know, and we talked about that, you know, and one interesting thing to me is it's like, you know, bombs are illegal too. Like, you can't get bombs, but motherfuckers always blowing some shit up.
Motherfuckers making bombs.
So, you know, and you can do the same thing with an AR. You know, you can, like, that's a very modifiable weapon. Like, you can do a lot of things to that. You can make bullets. You can, not too long ago, there was this whole dust up because this dude printed a working handgun out of a digital.
That 3D printer. Yeah.
So if a motherfucker want a gun, they going to get a gun. I'm not saying we shouldn't do anything to make. We definitely should. More extensive background checks make it more difficult for people to get their hands on weapons. But we also need to understand that that ain't the answer by itself.
Yeah, I mean it's like, you know what I've been saying about this push with PrEP, that pre-exposure prophylaxis and HIV prevention, because a lot of people think that PrEP is the new thing that's going to help end this HIV epidemic. And I'm like, not necessarily, because once again, we still talk about human behavior. People have to take their PrEP. People have to, first of all, let me say that again. People have to take their PrEP consistently if they're on PrEP. People have to get on PrEP. People have to give a damn to think about PrEP. People have to give a damn to practice safe sex. All right, so people stop dying from HIV, but they still riddled with STDs and other things, and they get other diseases and things that could take them out. But, I mean, it's like we keep looking at components. We're not saying these components shouldn't exist, but we're saying that these things aren't the fix that we're looking for. They're just another tool in the toolbox. But it all still come back down to human behavior in all of this. Human beings got to choose to be better human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Until that happens.
Yeah. That's the part that nobody wants to talk about with all of this. And that's the part that's funny to me.
But
people honestly operate in a space where they feel like human beings are fundamentally good and all these other things. And that, you know, if we take away this, then people will, like, we act like taking away something is going to change the behavior by itself.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, like you said, people have to fundamentally want to change. People have to want to be good. People have to want to be different. I mean, historically, human beings have been both good and violent to each other. Historically, but I mean, it's really what it really comes down to. I mean, it's the crux of it all. It's human behavior. Humans giving a damn about each other. Humans not want to be racist anymore. Humans not want to be sexist anymore. Humans not want to oppress each other no more. Humans not want to be greedy no more. That's what it's going to take. I mean, and until people give a damn on that level, here we are. So, but, you know, anywho, we just want to, you know, warm up our whistles, get our whistles warmed up. So, three topics for y'all today. Over the past couple of weeks, there have been a number of Nigerians who have been killed in South Africa, and a lot of violence. There's been a lot of violence towards Nigerians in South Africa. So we're going to bring up speed on that, give our thoughts. I'm going to talk about Trump denying refugees from the Bahamas temporary protected status. So we're going to get on his dumb ass about that. And we're going to analyze some things. We're going to do some breakdown of some things. So a couple weeks ago, or like last week or something, a week or two ago, an activist named Tyrone Muhammad, it was a nail salon that was being aggressive and racist toward black women. And Tyrone Muhammad wasn't having that shit no more. And he went and busted up their shop. I think he threw bricks and stuff through their window. No, he vandalized their shop. I mean, but, you know, in the name of justice. And he was arrested. And people bailed him out. Only for him to find out that, you know, black women are still patronizing this shop. So we're going to talk about those incidents. And then get into a little mini discussion of, do black people really give a damn about racism and oppression? Like, do we really give a damn about being under this system of racism and oppression? So sit back, put your seatbelts on. For some of y'all, if you need to, put your helmets on. And, hey, yo, Pat, you know what I was thinking, too, real quick before we get into it?
What's up?
For all the new listeners, because I'm sure we got a lot of new listeners, so peace out to all y'all new listeners. I will be, for all the ladies, I will be sending out pictures with me with no shirt on. So that's coming soon. But brief introduction of yourself for the new listeners. Who is Patrick Irvin?
Patrick Irvin is the dude that's friends with the dude that you saw sneaking out of your mother's bedroom window last night. Your mother's boyfriend.
That's me.
I am his friend. And yeah, you know, that's it.
So you're not going to be serious.
Hey, man, might well give him a dose of the show while we on the show.
I'm just saying.
You know I'm a dart worker, man. I don't even like for my own people to know who I am. Nah, but look, so I am Patrick Irvin. I'm also a host of the Lessons from the Screen podcast on the show. And on the network, you know, Joy and I work together on the network. I do most of the technological stuff on the back end and stuff like that. You know, I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. And we both work with PAX. And, you know, we're both responsible for making sure that things happen in the community. That's an ordinance or a task that we've both taken on. So on my end, I've taken on that task here in Charlotte. Joe has taken on that task down there in Tallahassee, Florida. And, you know, we do what we can to make our community a better place. We've both been, well, I've been looking into black history and studying my history, studying myself for over 10 years, and been trying to move in spaces to create change for just as long. So that's who I am. I've been in the vault with media and audio in some capacity also for over 10 years. Actually, running up on 15 years now. And, you know, I got a lot of opinions. But I also like to read. I'm a nerd. I'm not a geek because my nerdiness isn't specific to one area. I kind of like to learn about everything, and I'm a very technical person, like technical Ted. You hear joke, he might joke about that with me a lot, but it's real. I'm very literal, I'm very technical, and I believe in precision of language. So, that's me.
There it is. One time for Pat. Yeah, so I'm Joseph Ward, the host of this show, the Freedom Train Podcast series, also the host of the Fix Sports Podcast, the creative founder and author of the Own the Show of the Giants African History series, where I make it easy for you to find the stories of the sung and unsung heroes, mostly unsung heroes of the African diaspora. By day, I fight racism through sex and like HIV prevention. By night, a podcaster, author, activist, you name it, through on my own time, a millionaire in the making, former porn star in my mind, and that's it. So let's go ahead and jump to these topics, though. I just wanted to make sure that you all knew who you was rocking with. We two of the realest ever. Oh, yeah, and I'm straight out of Tallahassee, Florida, straight from the South. So, all right, so South Africa, well, the headline of this is South Africa closes embassy in Nigeria after xenophobic violence. You know how I feel about that phobic part, but that's some bullshit, so... It says, between Sunday and Wednesday, mobs looted and destroyed shops, many of them foreign-owned, in South Africa's commercial hub of Johannesburg. Nigeria's government has been outspoken in its condemnation of the violence. Police say the unrest has subsided and more than 420 arrests have been made. South Africa's foreign minister, Naledi Pandor, called the violence an embarrassment for her country. She says, this is a quote, "Our government regrets all violence against foreign-owned stores or Africans from other countries who are resident in South Africa." So that was a quote from her. She ordered the closure of the country's high commission in Nigerian capital, Abuja, and its mission in Lagos following threats to the diplomatic staff. So this one is asking, how many have any Nigerians been killed? It says, videos and images that have been shared on social media purporting to show Nigerians being attacked and killed have inflamed tensions. On Tuesday and Wednesday, South African-owned businesses were targeted by protesters in several Nigerian cities, and the looters said the attacks were reprisals for the killing of Nigerians in South Africa. South African telecom giant MTN closed its shops as a precaution. In response to the violence in Johannesburg, two of Nigeria's top musicians, Burna Boy and Twia Savage, announced they were boycotting South Africa. At least 10 people have been killed in the trouble in South Africa, including two foreign nationals, the South African government says, but none of the victims have been identified as Nigerian. I'm looking at a picture. I'm not sure if they're setting someone on fire or just a fire that they have that police are trying to put out. I'm not sure, but I see fire. It says, on this particular Wednesday, Nigerian Foreign Minister Jeffrey, whose last name I can't pronounce, told journalists there are a lot of stories going around of Nigerians being killed, jumping off buildings and being burnt. And according to the Nigerian Foreign Minister, it says that's not the case. It says, while the government believes Nigerian businesses have been targeted in South Africa, he added, it has no evidence that Nigerians have died. Prime Minister or the Foreign Minister also argued people to stop attacking South African businesses in Nigeria, saying the President Muhammadu Buhari was particularly distraught at the acts of vandalism. Let me just read this last piece of saying, why has the Nigerian government been outspoken? Despite disputing the accounts of Nigerians dying in South Africa, the Nigerian government has been forceful in its condemnation of the events there. On Wednesday, it announced it was boycotting the World Economic Forum on Africa and that is currently taking place in Cape Town in protest of the violence. The government believes that we have to take the moral high ground on this matter. The president has also sent an envoy to South Africa to express Nigeria's displeasure over the treatment of her citizens. Nigerians often criticized the authorities for being slow to respond to domestic crisis, and the government is keen to be seen to be taking action over attacks in South Africa. So that is a good question. If the government is coming out saying that none of these killing acts are happening, why are they condemning South Africa?
Well, I think they can condemn, because people are being attacked.
Right.
You know, I've read 3 or 4 articles just sitting here now, and everybody, you know, all of the articles are in agreement that people are being attacked, and that more than 1,000 stores have been destroyed or attempted to be destroyed. But it doesn't look like anybody was necessarily killed. So, well, it doesn't, that we don't know the identity of the people that have been killed in terms of their ethnicity or their nationality. So I think, you know, you can come out strong against the violence and strong against the destruction of property, even if people aren't being killed. But, you know, it looks like it's more than just Nigeria as well. It's basically all black people that's not South Africa.
Right. Yeah, all foreigners to South Africa are facing violence. That's what it seems like. The information is coming out. And this is something that I've seen been condemned on various black-owned media outlets who were talking about this. And, you know, we want to make sure we say our piece, because one of the thoughts that come with this is for us to make sure that we are not allowing the actions of a few South Africans to be like, see how they treat each other. You know how they treat us. I told you, if they don't like their own people, that mean that, you know, they don't like us. Let's, I don't want it to get to that, because the actions of a few doesn't dictate the actions and the thoughts of the many. And that doesn't mean that there's a rift between, or that should be a rift between blacks and America and blacks in Africa. But this is disgraceful acts, though. This is not something that can be just overlooked. This is something that needs to be addressed and addressed properly. And those who were a part of the violence need to be punished accordingly. And these are things that in-house with black people need to be taken care of. But once again, we do need to be better organized as black people as well, though.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. You definitely don't want to rush to conclusions. I do think South Africa has a particularly unique history, one that is fairly recent. I mean, you know, it's still an African nation where 80% of the population is living in poverty as defined by their skin color.
Right.
And there aren't very many places in Africa where that's true to this extent. So, you know, the country has one-third of its workers or one-third of its population is unemployed. Poverty is still running rampant. They're still dealing with social issues. They're still dealing with racial issues left over from apartheid. And then, you know, I'm sure there's a level of frustration there when some of these people look out and they see people that aren't South African prospering or doing better than they are. And so even to that, though, we got to make sure that
we get that, though.
I just feel like we got to make sure that we understand that as well when we start making the generalizations. That there are levels to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just be like, because South Africans feel this sort of way towards foreigners, the entire continent doesn't want people there, or
right.
we don't
right.
they don't view certain things certain ways, or whatever the case might be. Even back in the old days, there's always been ethnicity disputes. There's always been tribal disputes. There have always been cultural disputes between various peoples, various black groups, if you will, melanated peoples. So that's not going to go anywhere. So, you know, I feel like when people make those types of statements, you got to understand that when people are talking about uniting to fight global white supremacy, that's a different thing than talking about just being united in our blackness. Those are two different concepts.
Right.
Two different
right.
things that work there. So I just wanted to point that out. But I think in this situation, you got to take a lot more into consideration when you start looking at what's going on. But South Africa does I'm not as familiar with this incident as I am with some of the other incidents, but I know that South Africa, back in 2015, there was an issue. I believe there was one back in 2012. There was another one back in 2008. South Africa kind of has a history of this type of behavior towards foreigners of late. You know, it's going back the last 15, 20 years. There are pretty regular displays of South Africans basically having issues with foreigners, and I think all of that stems back to the fact that they're broke and they're unemployed and they don't have a lot of opportunities, and so they see foreigners with opportunities and they're frustrated.
Now,
you can't necessarily blame them for that.
And I get that. I get that, because I feel like, well, I know us in America, we understand where they are coming from, because we too have we're in a situation where we watch foreigners come and prosper off of what we built. Now, our level of poverty don't reach their level. It's not their level of poverty.
Right.
But we do understand where they're coming from when they are looking at foreigners come to their country and prosper. And then the foreigners, especially, you know, when we get other foreigners who tell us, well, my dad and my granddad came to this country with nothing, and look at what he has now. And it's like, well, people don't keep taking from your granddad either.
Right.
You know, but we get that. But it's also they're attacking the wrong people, though. And that's one of the issues about it. They're attacking the wrong people. Like, white people are still the reason South Africa is fucked up. Bad deals from bad leaders. Or good leaders making bad deals, or bad leaders making bad deals, but it's still wrapped up in white people have most of the wealth in South Africa. White people are the minority when it comes to population, but they are the majority when it comes to wealth.
And that's actually a global dynamic, but
right. But I mean, it's something that people have to look at when we are talking about the violence that happened in that is happening in South Africa. You know, when I go back to what I'm talking about, people making sure that we recognize who the true enemy is, and the true enemy isn't other black people. Now, of course, we don't have all the details of everything that sparked off every single incident, but for the most part, it's still black people fighting black people. And one other thing too, like I do agree that we, for some reason, we believe that black people have always looked at each other as the same. And I don't know why we believe that in America, because all black people in America, we all don't look at each other as the same. So the different groups of people, when they interact with other groups of people, yeah, they're black. And remember, the majority of people in Africa are black. So when they right. just because they see black people, it's not like, okay, my brother like this, my brother that. Not like we do it here in America, because the majority of people over here are not black. But black people, African people have never had this concept of everybody is one. Now, we need to get to that concept to be able to properly fight racism, because it's a team sport. But that idea has never been there. So stop being disappointed when you don't see black people acting as one. Like, we're still working on getting to that point. That hasn't, like, truly been a true point of black people throughout the continent, or even throughout the diaspora.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I agree with that. You know, made the point. But I think going back to the other thing, we got to. The reason I bring up South Africa's history is because it's almost all the case, always the case, that when an oppressed people finally achieve even a marginal level of freedom, a lot of the times they exhibit the behaviors of the people that oppress them.
Right.
And so even in that, you know, poor people are going to behave poorly, period. You know, they're poor people. They don't have the resources, and they don't have the things that they need to be any other way. Now, the caveat to that is I'm not just speaking about, like, poor by certain standards. I'm not speaking about poor in general terms. I'm talking about in terms of standard. Like, if I live in a society that doesn't deal with money, then by your standards as a society that does live with money, I might be poor. But by my cultural standards, I could be extremely wealthy because I have a large social circle. You know, so
right. It depends on the viewpoint.
Right, it does. So when I speak on poor people behaving poorly, I'm speaking on the fact that in any culture, if you take the people who consider themselves as having less than the average person in that society, you're going to see a higher level of poor behavior being exhibited. And that's just human nature. So these people aren't, you know, sure, we can say they aren't making the best decisions and they're attacking the wrong people. And all of that is true, 100%. But I go back to what you said, Joe. Let's not forget the underlying causes of a lot of the problems that they're having. Right.
It's the white people, white supremacy.
And the behavior that they're exhibiting is behavior that we've seen since 2015, 2012, 2015, since the Brexit vote, and a little bit before that, actually. It's behavior that we've seen exhibited by white people all over the country that have kind of, around about 20, because Brexit was in 2016. I'm sorry, my brain is still on Brexit. Brexit was in about 2015, 2016. So for about 2 or 3 years before the Brexit vote, we started seeing this arise in the same sort of behavior from white people all over the world talking about how they were over foreigners coming into their country and blah, 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 and this, that, and the third. And we saw the same level of violence. We see that same level, the same level of attacks right here in America, where you had a small group of armed white people walking down to the border intent on shooting people trying to cross the border. So I think in that regard, you know, I spoke on the poverty angle. Now I'm speaking on just the cultural angle, where they've been exposed to a certain type of culture for so long that I think it would be foolish for us to assume that a lot of those things have not rubbed off on certain people within the culture group that is black South Africans.
I mean, you can't spend a significant amount of time around a person or a group of people and not adopt different things from them. You know, like, just, you know, example, I saw like when we talk about mixing of cultures and customs and things, like a New Orleans style po' boy made mixed with Vietnamese ingredients and bread and all these things. See, like, amalgamations happens when people are mixed together. It happens. It has always happened. It's going to continue to happen. That's how we get down as human beings. So you're going to pick up things from other people. It's just, what are you picking up? Is it good for you or is it bad for you? And if it's bad for you, those are the things that you need to stop picking up from these other people, or get from around these other people.
And that's where you run into the issue of the poverty angle. It is a lot harder to control and direct your culture appropriately when your culture has become predicated on survival.
Right. That's real, though. That's real. If you are constantly just trying to make it, then survival mode and thriving mode is two different things. In survival mode, a lot of people will do almost anything to make it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what it is.
Where you have cultures picking up bad habits when they in survival mode, because whatever it is, it's something that works in the moment. And when you're in survival mode, that's all you're thinking about is in the moment. But long term, it's going to have negative consequences. And so I'm not an expert on South African culture, but I am speaking just in terms of what happens when oppressed people are finally given some, even if it is minuscule or superficial, levels of freedom. They have picked up the habits of the people that oppressed them, because in their oppression, it was beneficial for them to pick up those habits. You know, it was beneficial. So that's when you see culture shift happening. And right now in South Africa, I think we're seeing South Africans, black South Africans especially, struggle with the fact that they have picked up a lot of cultural baggage that isn't beneficial for them in the long term. And, that, you know, the same as black people here in America. Every now and then, culture has to be challenged, and it has to be reset or purged, if you will. It has to be brought back in line for what's beneficial for the people in the current times and moving forward. And that means you got to have people willing to take a step back. People that drive the culture and influence the culture, they've got to be willing to take a step back and look around and look at what's happening, and be willing to push on things that need to be left behind. And right now, xenophobia, and I agree with you, Joe, I hate the whole phobic thing, but it is what it is. Right now, though, the whole hatred towards foreigners, the whole taking out your aggression and your desperation on the foreigners and not attacking the root causes of the problem, that is a cultural issue that spans across all cultures. And I keep saying that because a lot of people are going to get on their high horse. Well, I would never, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit. We do the same shit right here.
We do it to ourselves. Yeah, we do it to ourselves right here in black America. Like you're saying, we look down. Yeah, even if it's not physical violence, hey, we would shut each other out because that person is not your level of black.
Yeah.
And that person embarrasses you, all these things here. Yeah. The way we are, like, when you meet black people who are afraid of black people because they come from the hood.
Right. And anybody that's dealt with a lot of people that ain't from the hood, you know that that's pretty common, to bump into people, black folk that are just as terrified of going in the hood as white folk.
That's crazy. Because all black people got hood people in their family. But you should never be afraid of your own people, though. You should never be afraid of your own people. But that's the point that some people get to. So that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up. Because, you know, we need to transition. But I'm glad you did bring that up about us really getting the idea, our mind wrapped around the idea of why we treat each other the way we treat each other. And that's where it comes down to what's happening in South Africa. So now we want to talk about root causes. We also want to talk about more racism. So last week, you know, we talked about Hurricane Dorian and the damage that it did to the Bahamas. And so there are a lot of Bahamian refugees who were coming to America, the United States of America, and the Trump administration has decided, of course, because it's black people, the Trump administration has decided that it would not grant temporary protected status to the people of the Bahamas. Now, let me read this. It says the temporary protected status, also known as TPS, will have allowed Bahamians to work and live in the U.S. until deemed safe for them to return home. TPS is a form of humanitarian relief normally applies to people who would face extreme hardship if forced to return to homelands destroyed by natural disasters or war. And that's something that this article from BET that I got from CNN. So basically, according to this, is the United States is basically saying, fuck this humanitarian relief. We're just going to do what we want to do because we don't want to give these black people relief. That's what you're hearing, Pat. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
That's what I'm hearing. So it says an unnamed White House official admitted to CBS that although the Bahamians are facing humanitarian crisis, the United States would not offer them the temporary protected status. And like when I hear stuff like this, and then I hear people us, our fellow millennials, because we are millennials. So our fellow millennials talk about how they feel like, and they say it, I feel like our generation is changing things. And, or it's going to be a change, or it's going to be different with our generation. So my question is, well, where is our generation getting these examples of not being racist from? Because we're not talking about the stuff that the media shows us. We're talking about the stuff that people are exposed to on an everyday basis. So this is one of these everyday basis things. This is one of the things that we know the United States have been doing for a long time. It's not granting foreign immigrants or foreign refugees, mainly black immigrants or black refugees, the accommodations that other immigrants or other refugees would get. And it's infuriating me that we all know Hurricane Dorian decimated areas of the Bahamas, It tore the Bahamas up. It set over the Bahamas for like two and a half days. It tore it up. And for them to not get the protected status, I don't know what to think other than racism, because then Trump goes, Trump being a bitch, he's saying the Bahamas has had some tremendous problems with people going to the Bahamas that weren't supposed to be there. I don't want to allow people that weren't supposed to be in the Bahamas to come to the United States, including some very bad people and some very bad gang members and some very, very bad drug dealers. So this is Trump's quote about one of the reasons why he doesn't want to grant the protected status to the Bahamians.
Yeah, I mean, it's insulting. And the way some people are responding to it is somewhat infuriating, because this is the same language he used against the Central Americans and the South Americas and the countries from, or the people from those countries that were coming up through the southern border through Mexico. You know, when he talked about the gangs and he made MS-13 his big thing, and he talked about the very bad people and all of this other stuff. And in those moments, and I'm not saying everybody, but I know where I got bothered by all of this was the same people that I was hearing saying that was racist to say it about the Mexicans, the Hispanic people coming up through the southern border. Now he's saying the exact same thing about the Bahamas, and they're like, well, he has a point. And I'm not saying that's everybody, but I am saying that I've heard that enough in my casual conversations and interactions with people to know that there are a good section of people out there that feel like this is somehow different.
Because that's all right. So to those people, show me, go point out the bad people in the Bahamas. Go point out, because till now, nobody talked about violence in the Bahamas. Nobody talked about drugs in the Bahamas. Nobody been talking about none of that stuff. Right. From the Bahamas. Now, ain't nobody been talking, but all of a sudden, these are bad people. All of a sudden, now, if you want to sit down and say 100% of the people in the Bahamas are good, come on, man, ain't nobody that foolish. But come on, man, I guarantee you, we got a bigger gang problem, we got a bigger drug problem, we got a bigger dumbass problem here in America.
Well, I mean, but the hurricane, over 70,000 people were left homeless.
Right.
You know, over 50 people were killed. You know, we're not talking about, I mean, 70,000 people without a home. And, I really want Americans to understand this. Me, especially being an American, I feel like I can say this. We're supposed to be the richest nation in the history of the earth.
We're supposed to be smart and civilized, too.
When you have the kind of wealth that we have, you have an obligation to do for the people who can't afford to do for themselves. That's where this whole, the better nature of humanity is supposed to step in and step out and make itself known. We got it. You don't. We can help you. So we're going to, because that's what the fuck humans do. I don't understand why that concept it's so difficult for people to grasp, and then at the same time they'll turn around and say people are inherently good.
Well, you have to view people as people in order to treat them as people. And that's the one of the things people keep missing. These cracker ass crackers. These not white people. These racists, these cracker ass racists, do not view black people as human beings. They never have, and they never will. So we're never going to get that human treatment from these type of people. And for the people who will say, well, who can look at one group of people as human beings, or could say, or could argue for the moral treatment of one group of people, but will argue against the moral treatment of another group of people who are in the same violence, those people just dumbasses.
I mean, we've had that conversation before, though, about, because that's where the whole argument of black people and white people just need to talk. That's basically saying we need to show white people that we human too.
But no, fuck that. Fuck that. I'm not to cut you off. Fuck that. Fuck, look, man, like I was telling somebody the other day, fuck that shit. Look, so you mean to tell me you so fucked up, I got to have a conversation with you for you to treat me like a human being? We're not talking about you getting to know me. We just talk about you treating me as a human being with some kindness and respect. I got to have a conversation with you for you to treat me with kindness and respect. That's bullshit. You are less than a human if I have to have a conversation with you for you to treat me with kindness and respect. We're not even asking you to get to know me. Because you have a conversation with somebody that you're trying to get to know. I don't have to fucking talk to you to fucking treat you like a human being, though.
Well, here's my pushback to the whole, because to be honest, they treat us, and to say that they don't treat us as human is both true and false at the same time. I mean, it's true, they don't give us the respect that they give, that you would expect a human to give another human being. But I do think they give us the type of respect that they give other humans, just other non-white humans. But even to that, the way white people interact with the world in general is very interesting, because they treat their dogs better than they treat people that they don't know, white, black, or otherwise. They treat animals better than they treat humans in a lot of regards. And so,
is that subhuman viewpoint, though?
It's very interesting, because the way they view human life seems to be very much tiered, or the way they view life, period, seems to be very tiered in a way that can't be nailed down by species. Like, you can't just say, oh, well, you're a human, so I put you up here. You're a dog, so I put you right. No, it's like, well, you're my dog, so you're better than these people over here. You're my cow, you're my chicken, you're my this, you're my that. And so I think that's the problem we run into is, honestly, never mind, because that's taking us on to a whole nother tangent. But fact remains, this shit with Dorian is fucked up, it's racist. But it's fucking Trump. I mean, it's what we expect. I mean, I don't know how many other ways to say it other than to say, hey, man, this is why it's important to vote.
I mean, yeah, the Trump administration is, they bought that real bullshit. People need to vote. People need to make sure they vote locally. People need to make sure that they know what's going on. They're not just out here with the dumb shit. Because if you don't, I mean, I don't know what you expect to happen. I just don't know what you expect to happen if you don't take care of business like you're supposed to take care of business. But also, I mean, we do need to understand who we're dealing with. We do need to understand what we're voting for, who we're voting for, why we're voting, and know the power of our votes. Know that we don't have to vote just because it's a turn to vote. Sometimes we might need to hold our vote out and work as a group. But once again, it still goes back to racism is a team sport, and we're so fractured as a team, or disjointed as a team, that we can't even help these behemoths.
And that's right.
We're the 16th richest nation in the world, aggregated, working together. But we're so fractioned as black people that we can't help the behemoth.
And in my opinion, that's the kicker right there, is that we do need to understand politics, and voting is important. That's why I said what I said. But at the same time, like, you go back to the Nigeria situation, that's not a situation that can be fixed politically. It's not. You look at what's happening right now in the Bahamas, it would be nice for the U.S. government to behave like it has some goddamn sense, but that shouldn't be a prerequisite for us to deliver what those people need to them. That's something we should be able, as a group, containing all of the resources that we have, we should be stepping up to make that happen so that it's like, all right, fuck Trump. I don't give a damn what he say. We're going to find a way to help these 70,000 people that need help.
And I mean,
if you, one other thing, if you do vote locally, Congress can do things. So I agree with you 100%. It's not necessarily about the presidential vote. But, you know, the only thing that can stop a crazy president is a Congress that ain't willing to take no shit.
Right. Right.
So, you know, you got to participate on some level.
Because, I mean, this is blatant racism. It's blatant racism, what's happening to the people in the Bahamas as far as being denied the protected status. It's blatant racism. Feels a group of Europeans, they would get it, no question. Feels a group of white South Americans, they would get it. Feels a group of white people from Caribbean areas, they would get it. Feels a group of white people from any other place, they would get it, especially if it's a group of white people that the United States like.
Oh, most definitely.
So, you know, it's blatant racism what's happening, but it's also another wake-up call for us as black people throughout this diaspora. You know, everybody don't believe in the idea of pan-Africanism, but pan-Africanism has its place. And this is one of the things where pan-Africanism, we're being united in some way as far as with the pan-African visions, can help us help ourselves. When black people are in trouble, black people can't call on black people to help black people because we can't. Hell, most of us can't help ourselves. How are we going to help others?
Yeah, I'm not. And you know me. You know very well. I'm not a huge pan-Africanist. But as a theory, as a concept, there are a lot of components of pan-Africanism that are needed in order for us to push back on global white supremacy. You can't
right.
push back on global white supremacy as an individual ethnic group or culture. You need sort of a united front of all black people. And indeed, even to that sense, it would be beneficial if you had a global united front of all non-white people pushing back on global white supremacy. But understanding that, especially within the black space, you need that global united front of black people that are going to push back and say, nah, we got our own issues, but anytime you're challenging us as a group, our issues get set to the side. This is one of those moments where our issues need to be set to the side. If we could get some of those black people that are trying to make huge gains out there in South America and Central America, if the United States want to act like an ass, maybe if we had a united front, we could maybe get some of those countries to step up and let people in. You know, the opportunities and the options are endless when you open up the doors in that regard to black people all over the globe sitting still. Even if it's you know, if it's a way that you can have them transported to an African country where they could be comfortable and be in a space that's predominantly black so that they could stay at least in a setting in that sense that they're familiar with. You know, the possibilities are endless, but it requires exactly what you said.
Yeah. I mean, we just got to stop. We got to stop looking at this from a survivor's viewpoint and look at it from a winner's viewpoint. Look at it from more of a teacher. People are always talking about chess, not checkers. But I keep saying, the more people talk about chess, not checkers, the more we keep revealing that we are at the chessboard playing Uno with our cards backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we want to tell everybody everything. So.
Yeah, we definitely But I mean that's real too, though. I mean, and then too, the other point is, you know, I agree with you in the sense that it ain't so much that we're playing chess, or you know that we should be playing chess, and we playing checkers. It's the fact that, because I think people get caught up in that as well, you know, and because I've actually heard people over the years saying, well, you got to be playing chess because, you know, chess is a more strategic, more complicated game. And my response has always been, no, you got to be playing chess because it's a fucking chessboard.
Right.
Like that's what's going. So that's why I've always liked your analogy a little bit better of we at the chess table playing with Uno cards. Cause
we ain't playing
this long fucking game.
Right. Right. So, that is, but we got to understand that. But, you know, we all in agreement that what's happening to the Bahamians are, it is racist. Also, Patrick, Patrick did put the links in the post. So, if you go to last week's post, you can see, and we'll put the links again to be able to donate to the Bahamians. We'll put the links again in this week's show notes and stuff, so you can go and help donate to the people in the Bahamas. So
also,
make sure
real
you do
quick,
that.
I want to shout out to Professor Carl Tone Jones because he is somebody that says chess, not checkers. But again, he says it in the frame of reference that we're playing the wrong fucking game. So
yeah. There it is. All right, so the last topic we want to cover is the brother Tyrone Muhammad on the south side of Chicago. So, he was a community activist. He was arrested after vandalizing the south side nail salon. The activist claimed the salon owner has disrespected black women. So, customer Charmaine Jones said she was at Colored Nails on 83rd Street and Stewart Avenue, and was told to leave the business. He told me to get out of his chair. He was not doing my nails. I changed my mind too much, he said. Cell phone video only captured a part of what happened as she left. As she was walking out, she said he proceeded to push me, shove me, and hit me and attempted to bite me. She said she was reaching back inside the store trying to get her sister. Another worker can be seen attempting to grab the phone off of the woman who was recording. Tyrone Muhammad, a community activist, responded the next day by throwing bricks in the salon windows. He was immediately arrested and charged with misdemeanor criminal damage property. He posted a video of the incident on his Facebook page. Don't do that. Thursday, Muhammad defended his actions, said he's met with the owner before to address the issue at the shop, but nothing has changed. The women should stop going too. But if you see the tape, you'll see me going in warning the sisters to clear this area, he said. We're pretty much at this point commandeering this place and any neighborhood store that disrespect our women and children. Activists have been staging a boycott and protest following a series of incidents, yada, 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 yada. So they bailed them out and all these things. So I saw videos last Friday, matter of fact. I was on YouTube. I saw videos that black women are still going into this shop and shopping. Even with the doors, the windows and stuff boarded up. Black women have returned to the shop. The shop had closed out for a couple of days, but it's back open, and black women are still shopping or getting their nails done at this specific shop after the actions of Tyrone Muhammad. So first, I want to just talk about what happened with Tyrone Muhammad at the shop. Then let's talk about, do we even really give a fuck about what's going on around us? So what are your initial thoughts overall about what Tyrone Muhammad did and the women that were involved?
I mean, straight up, I can appreciate what he was trying to do.
My brother.
I can appreciate where he was coming from. I can appreciate his goals. I can appreciate everything around what he did. But I can't appreciate what he actually did.
And why is that?
Well, for one, just the physical aspect of it. If one of those bricks had to hit one of those sisters, you warning them to get out of the way does not excuse the behavior. That's that, you know, if I walk up to your mom or to somebody that's in a place that you don't own and you don't have any control over getting the service that you aren't providing, and minding her own business. You know, if you walk up to her and say, excuse me, ma'am, I need you to leave this area because I'm about to do something foolish. That you still own responsibility for that because you're about to do something foolish. Now, yes, I would hope that she would relocate. But even if she doesn't, relocate or not, you're still doing something foolish. And throwing bricks through windows with sisters sitting in the windows, that's not a good idea. It's not. The sisters aren't obligated to move. You don't own the property. You aren't providing the service. You aren't, you know, so we get into all of those nuanced arguments. And again, I respect and appreciate what he was trying to do. But from that standpoint of if one of those bricks had hit one of those sisters, that's not on that sister. That's on you. You threw the fucking brick. You know what I'm saying? So, go ahead.
I was going to say, my viewpoint more so is, was it worth it?
Well, that's where I was getting ready to go right then. Because from that standpoint of, okay, so that's the physical aspect of it. If one of those sisters had got hit with that brick, that would have still been on him. Warning be damned. You can't warn somebody of some stupid shit that's about to go down and then try to say that the stupid shit wasn't stupid because I gave you a warning. No, it's still stupid shit. But the other component is when you call yourself an activist, you have to do things that the community supports. If the community doesn't support what you're doing, you're not an activist for that community. Period. That's end of discussion. So the community clearly does not support what he's doing.
Clearly. That particular community, those women don't.
Right. It's pretty clear. They don't support what you're doing. So at this point, you're not an activist. You actually become a terrorist. You become a nuisance. You become a problem. And we've seen examples of this throughout history of people with well-meaning intentions ending up in compromised situations because they lose the support of the people that they're supposed to be fighting for. We saw this with the MOVE situation in Philadelphia. The moment the people surrounding that lived in the neighborhood surrounding the Africa family decided that this family was a problem, that's when all of the shit went down and the police had clearance to do what they did. So,
well, I think though, because I hear what you're saying, but I think what make him a problem or what make actions like that a problem is not necessarily the actions or the intentions behind it. It's the idiocracy of the people that they're trying to help.
I'm not defending the people one way or another in terms.
I know.
What I'm saying though is, this game we play of trying to create a better world, there's work that has to go into changing the way people view the world they currently live in before you take activity.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying, because I personally don't have a problem with what Buddy did. I just don't think it was worth it. That's the biggest thing for me. I think his actions were in vain, and it's sad to say that, but
sad to say, though. I think that's real. Like, what I
was that's why I said, because it's real.
I was trying not to say it was pointless.
It was pointless, though. Let's just be real with it. Let's be real. Straight up. The shit was, what he did, like, I'm mad that it's pointless, though, because It's almost like we don't know who to stand up for and who not to stand up for anymore. Because on one hand, you hear black women saying black men don't stand up for us anymore. But then you see black men standing up and it's worth shit.
But here's the deal. You got to listen to, and this is, again, you got to listen to people. How do you get, people say, I want this to happen, but you got to pay attention to all of the context, the contextual stuff around that. When do they want you to stand up? How do they want you to stand up? What specifically are they talking about? Because you don't hear black women saying, I want black men to stand up for us in hair salons and nail parlors.
Right, but also I was going to say, too, though, even we know we got different categories. We got black people and we got niggas. One of the errors he made, he was standing up for niggas. Let's just call it what it is. That's what he was. He thought he was helping black women, but he was helping niggas. And it backfired.
Well, I think here we could be honest about this too. Black women or niggas, I don't think it would have mattered. Because black people as a whole, black women as a whole, and of course that's a generalization, but I'm not talking about every individual black woman. But black women as a whole feel a sort of kinship and connectivity to these Asian nail salons.
Well,
that's and no. They give the best.
That is fact to that, but I don't know if I would say across the board, and I could be wrong, but I don't know if I would say across the board because I'm also thinking about black women who got sense as well, black women who know what time it is as well.
I can't say those are
the only ones who would frequent these nail shops, though.
I know that I made a generalized statement, and I caveated it by saying I'm not saying each individual, but what I am saying when I say across the board in that sense is that overwhelmingly, black women support Asian nail salons. Black women support Asian hair shops and things like that, hair care. And we can say it's because there ain't no black alternatives, but even to that I would call bullshit because I know several black women, dozens of black women, if you're going to start shit and haven't been successful because they couldn't get the support.
If you're going to say that there's no alternatives, you straight full of shit. But I do think this is a time where black women have to call out black women too.
I agree with that. Well, I think black women should be the only ones calling black women out. I think that's the space we're in right now, period. Black women kind of got to step up and call out black women, but I feel like black men need to do the same thing with black men. But that's neither here nor there with regards to black men, because we're talking about this issue.
Because this is not too far from one incident where the Hebrew Israelite brothers was trying to stand up for the sisters in that one shop where the lady got punched in the face and the girl got in an argument with the brothers trying to stand up for them.
I just think we're in a space. Well, let me go back. This was not smart. And I was trying to be real political about it because I did like what the brother did, his intentions, where he was coming from and all of that. But the fact of the matter is this was not smart. And as black people trying to be activists, we've got to be more intelligent and more strategic in how we maneuver, and we've got to evaluate the potential outcomes. The mere fact that he did what he did, recorded it, and put it up on social media, I get it on one hand, you don't want them to be able to dictate the narrative, but on the other hand, it feels like grandstanding. That's what it looks like. It looks like clout.
I don't think it was grandstanding. I think it was an honest brother trying to stand up for the women in his community. He was just standing up for the wrong women.
But even if you want to say it was an honest brother trying to stand up for the women in his community, there was no thought. There wasn't a proper amount of thought put into it.
We ain't gonna argue with that point. I don't deny that point, but I don't think it was grandstanding though.
So from that perspective, all this video serves to do is make black people look bad. It doesn't really impact. It makes him look good to certain people. To other people, it doesn't. And it makes black women look bad. So it's a collective negative for black people in America. There's no win to this. Black dudes are going to hold this up. See, we do try to fight for y'all. Black women are going to hold it up and say, this brother was trying to hit us with rocks. blah, 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 blah. Everybody's going to spin their narrative the way they want to spin it, and it ain't making a lick of difference. And I look at it all, and I say, if this is an intelligent brother, and I believe he is an intelligent person, he had to know this was going to be the outcome going in. I mean, I didn't even have to spend a whole lot of time thinking about this. Like, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, duh, okay, not a good idea.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, overall,
that's why it looked like grandstanding to me.
Well, overall, it wasn't a good idea because the people that he fighting for don't give a fuck. That's what I think. That's where I'm coming from. It wasn't the best idea. It was good intentions, but not the best idea because you fighting for people who don't want you to fight for them.
Well, and, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, and now the man got a record. He's been arrested, even though the community did come together, bail him out and all that stuff. And I think some money got raised to kind of help him out, but still, he still has to deal with that. But it's like moving forward, like, do it make him still want to fight for black women? Because I don't want black women who actually give a damn to be swept up in this, oh, well, black women don't give a fuck anyway, so why do that? You know what I'm saying?
Even if black women did give a fuck, the fact of the matter is, the answer is not throwing bricks through their window, especially not while black women are sitting there. That, you know, like, because, and even at the end of the day, I mean, let's be honest, the way insurance works, it's a strong possibility that they could make a come up off of this. They could net some money off of this, and you didn't impede their ability to do business. They board up the windows and they keep doing business.
I mean, so, it wasn't the best plan. It wasn't the best way to execute the plan. It wasn't all that. It was a brother trying to make a difference. But
so I'm at the point where, and now I'm not trying to be political anymore. Now I'm just talking. Fuck trying to make a difference if you're not going to think about what you're doing. We don't need that. We don't need any more of that. That's part of the problem with why we are where we are right now. Motherfuckers get out there, they get emotional, and they do shit. And I'm not saying he was emotional, but I am saying that this was some shit that only makes sense to me if I'm thinking about it from an emotional point of view. I'm pissed off. I'm going to go fuck they shit up. Teach them that they can't fuck with black women like that. All right, you didn't accomplish any of your goals. Not a single one. Not now. This was an ultimate fail. There ain't even no silver lining around this shit. This is just a nasty-ass rainy cloud. So you said, no, there's no agile. No, what's the silver lining?
No, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't agree totally, though. I can't.
What's the silver lining?
I mean, the silver lining is we do have people who give a shit about black people.
We already do that, though, Joe.
Right, but I'm glad that we already knew, but it's a visual piece of black men doing what they need to do to help keep people in the community safe. It's just unfortunate he was doing it for some ungrateful niggas.
But see, that's the part where I'm like, it doesn't matter if they were grateful or ungrateful niggas or black folk. We have videos. We have plenty of videos of black men standing up for black women when it comes to the way they're
doing. Well, I mean, but
we didn't need
it. But it would matter if the women gave a damn, they wouldn't patronize the shop anymore, and then at least some win would come out of that.
If the women gave a damn, he wouldn't have had to throw a brick through the window in the first goddamn.
I mean, we said that. But I mean, we get that. We know all of that. But it's just the fact that we know why he went and did what he did, because a lot of people feel like they can just do whatever the black people, especially black women, and get away with it because they keep getting away with it. So it was at least this one time this brother was like, man, fuck this shit. I hate the outcome of it, but I'm not mad at his actions, and I'm glad he did what he did, but I'm not glad at the outcome of it.
But, Joe, let's think about what you said. They can do what they want to do and get away with it.
Right.
How did this change? Matter of fact, like I said before, with insurance being the way it is, it's a possibility they could make a come up off of this.
I mean, they probably, but it's better than doing nothing.
How did
though.
They not get away with it?
Because I mean, it's better than look. At least they got some kind of a warning, some kind of physical warning or whatever. And these, at least these particular people, I'm not saying all Asians, but at least these particular people may think twice about what they're doing if
not
they mess with a black person.
They may.
We can't. They may because they don't want. Maybe they may not want Tyrone coming back.
Look. Dude got arrested promptly. Black women
continue to
patronize.
Dude was out just as quick as he got arrested, too.
Yeah, but black people continued to patronize the business. How many of those black people you think walked in there and actually apologized to them for what he did? I can assure you some of them did.
I don't know. I mean, you know, some probably did, some probably didn't.
How many
I don't know,
people
but.
Do you think went down there to shop with that business? Just because he did what he did, because they wanted to show that they're not like him. I can assure you some people did.
But see, that we don't know. Now we dabbling into assumptions, though. When we don't want to dabble into that.
The whole thing is centered around assumptions at this point because there is no factual anything that anybody could say to where this is positive because it just happened. You know, we got to give it time to really see. So the entire discussion is an assumptions-based discussion right now. But
not necessarily.
So what guaranteed positive can you pull from this right now, knowing what we know?
What like I said, we know that especially in this area for these people, we got some men that's standing up for black women. For nothing at all to happen, that's not what we need. We don't need nothing at all. At least something happened. Like, let's just be real. Like the total outcome was bad for him, not because of what he did, but because of who he was doing it for. Though that's the biggest thing that made this fall downhill. It's the who he was doing it for, not the what. It's the who.
I think it's the both.
I don't think so.
Look, you can't, in my opinion, we can't sit here and say that this was not a good move because of the people he was doing it for, but then act like it was a good move. It was not a good move because it wasn't a good move. Even if
I'm not saying it was the smartest move. I'm not saying it's the most successful move. But it's nevertheless,
it
is a move.
And it wasn't successful, then it wasn't a good move. That means if it's not a good move, then it's a non-good move.
It's a move though. It's better than doing nothing. It's better than just sitting there. It's better than just allowing stuff to not happen and stuff to just build up in the fester. Especially in his case, seeing that from his viewpoint, he's warned these people before, and they took his warning for granted. Now, like you said, one thing I do agree with you said earlier, time has to tell. We're going to see what the total outcome of this, if their behavior changed and all these things. See, we're going to see that. But now, those women going back so soon, that don't help the behavior change, but we can't just rule out some form of behavior change, though. We can't say it is going to happen, but we can't say it ain't going to happen.
We can rule it out if we look at history, though. Historically speaking,
when people stand up for themselves,
but
it helps.
It's not just about standing up for yourself. It's about standing up for yourself in the right way, at the right time, in a way that's understood by all of the people involved. This does
But we're assuming that they don't understand that, though.
But what I'm saying is, we've seen, maybe not to this extreme, where somebody's throwing bricks through windows. And actually, no, because we can. There are stories I can recall where that has happened as well. We've seen where black dudes have tried to stand up for black women with regards to these Asian nail salons and our nail parlors and hair salons and all of these things before. And we've seen the responses of the communities where those things happen. And it has not produced any difference because we're still having conversations about black people being mistreated in hair salons and store you know, these parlors and stuff like that. So from that standpoint, like I said, I can appreciate what Buddy did. I can appreciate the intentions behind it and the wanting things to be different. I'm not saying he is grandstanding. I'm saying it came off to me as grandstanding, but you also know I'm a dark worker. I like to move in the darkness. And when I see something like this that fails as utterly as it did, to me that looks like grandstanding. That might not be what it is. I mean, no disrespect. But we can look at how we have typically interacted with them, how we've typically protested against them, and what that has done. And we can make educated guesses and inferences based on that history. And based on that history, there's nothing good about this situation.
It's not the ideal situation. It's not the textbook. You don't teach this situation.
But I'm also of the mindset that there's no such thing as doing nothing. Everything has a consequence to it. So if you don't protest, and if you don't boycott, and if you don't take any sort of responsive activity, that is still a response. That still causes a change in the environment. So in this instance, I do weigh the pros and cons of, would it have, what's the opportunity cost for this? Could that brother have been somewhere else doing something more productive? Yes, he could have. Is there already a protest? Was there? I don't know a lot of people, but I know one person in the space that said that they had already been trying to organize a protest against that particular salon. If that's true, put your energy towards growing that.
Well, maybe those people were all hooked up. Maybe those people weren't all in the same space. Maybe those people may have knew each other, may not have happened.
Now
but
I'm playing with the maybe.
Hey, but that's the only thing we can go off. That's the only thing we can go off of, because we, you know what I'm saying, we ain't see it all come up and happen. But it just, like I say, it ain't the greatest reaction to happen. But to me, it's better than nothing at all happening. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I wouldn't teach it. I wouldn't say nobody go out and duplicate the shit. But I want to see, I'd rather see something happen than we just all go home and motherfuckers just be mad and talking about it. At least somebody bust a grape.
I'm just at the point now where I'm kind of over giving people kudos for bad decisions. Regardless of the intentions, regardless of the thought process behind those decisions, I'm just over it. You know what I'm saying? Like, we need black people to start really fucking thinking about what we're doing and how we're moving. We can't afford shit like this to be happening.
I mean, and it's a large, but it's a small sacrifice for the overall thing, because it's like we not playing this shit right. We not playing this racism game right. Like, they already told us this is a team sport. We have to play it as a team, and we refuse to play it. So we got to revert to guerrilla style tactics.
But there's a way to do guerrilla style warfare as well, and this ain't it. You don't.
We ain't winning. We see that.
Yeah. Well, even to the point of throwing bricks through people's shit. Don't. Because here's the deal, right? You can say, yeah, okay, he got bailed out. And you can say whatever you want to say. But with that video evidence that he created for himself, you don't know if they could chalk this up, take him to court. Some sort of race-based crime, some sort of which amplifies the sentencing and everything else. If you say that it was race-based terrorism, which it could be qualified as, like, this could be an instance where this man's life is negatively impacted traumatically. And I don't see any situation where the benefit to doing what he did is going to outweigh the potential negatives of what he did, especially looking at what would have happened if one of those bricks had a hit one of those sisters. Somebody could have got cut with some glass. Somebody could have done something very, very negative and destructive could have happened physically to somebody, which would have escalated this whole thing to a whole nother ball game.
I mean, there's
intelligence in that.
There is none in that. There's a lot of things that could have gone wrong. There's no denying there was a lot of things that could have gone wrong. It could have got worse. It could still get worse for him. Because, you know, like I said when I was reading it, look, motherfuckers snitching on themselves these days. Don't record shit like this.
Right.
You just go make it. You just go bust they shit up and go on about your business.
Do the fucking shit at night.
But I just want something to happen. Something we have to start doing something. And I'm not championing this. I'm not saying people go do it. I'm not saying it's the best. But it's just like, God damn, like I'm so sick and tired of nothing happening. Like how many times can somebody do something to us and nothing happens? Like at least they might be scared of Tyrone as now. Like, LaQuisha's still going to get the business, but at least they scared. At least think twice about Tyrone.
I mean, but the way this is going to work out, Tyrone might have some sort of restraining order put against him where even showing up is going to be grounds to call the cops. Now you in a host of legal issues, legal problems. Like, this, and I don't know how it's going to work out, but I know looking at worst-case scenario, this could end up extremely fucked up for him in ways that could detrimentally impact his ability to be an activist.
Now, I don't know if a restraining order has been filed, but I know in one of the videos that I saw over the weekend, it was one where Tyrone was going back into the shop filming black women and other people in the shop while it was all boarded up and stuff like that. So
I would even view that as being like that's
antagonistic.
Yeah, that's grandstand. How does that benefit?
I mean, I like shit like that, so
You do, and I'm not being critical of it.
I know, do it like come on, dude. Let him do that shit, Pat.
Hey man, because I'm real. Like if he was just an old nigga on some fuck shit, I'd be like, whatever. This is whatever. But the moment you start calling, and I do think activists need to be held to a higher standard. I think that's one of the problems nowadays is we allow any motherfucker that want to be an activist to be an activist. And they can do whatever fucked up shit they want to do, and it paints all of us in a bad light.
The bar for being an activist is low. It's just if you're doing something, then you're an activist.
And I'm not game with that no more. Nah, if I'm calling you an activist, I'm holding you to a higher standard. I do not expect you to be participating in ill-conceived, ill-prepared, not well-thought-out plans. And this one checks all the boxes of what we don't need from people that consider themselves activists. I understand the emotionality of it. I understand all of that other stuff. In the short term, it was like when I saw the video, I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of excited. I was like, oh, that's interesting. But then I had to table that and go back and think of, okay, let's think this out. Let's play this game of thinking out the next 3 to 4 months to the next 5 to 10 years. How is this going to help? How does this play out in the community? And I could be totally wrong. This could work its way out. And black women see this, and they can have the total opposite reaction to the one they usually have. And all of a sudden, shit come together and shit change. And if that happens, I'll be the first to be like, you know what, I was wrong. I felt like I knew what I was talking about, but clearly something was different. I'm willing to own that. But to your other question, do black people really want to be helped? Not in the way that we want to help them. I think that's a nuanced question. Black people want to be helped, but they want to be helped in specific ways. Ways that we think.
Right, and it not necessarily help, but do we give a shit about being oppressed, and do we give a shit about the racism that's happening around us? Because these actions of going back to people who fucking us over make me think that we don't give a shit.
We don't give a shit in the moments that it is happening to other people. And that's the rub. those black women in that store, I'm sure most of them would say they've never been mistreated by anybody in that store. The black women that have been mistreated, I'm sure they don't go to that store no more.
I mean, yeah, that's what I was saying earlier, like the difference between black women and niggas. I'm sure any black woman that has went to that store who was mistreated is not going back to that store, but the niggas going to keep going.
But who's to say that the niggas were the people that kept going? Maybe the niggas are the people that haven't been mistreated in that store.
Well, I mean, a lot of niggas, you know, they think that some of that mistreatment is normal behavior. You know what I'm saying? But it's just like...
That's a good point.
You know, so if you've been mistreated your whole life and somebody else mistreating you, you know, you like, ah, man, it's whatever, that ain't nothing, that ain't nothing. But it's just like, I don't see intelligent black people who understand, know what's going on, intelligent black women who understand what's going on, who would keep, who continue shopping. Just like, I mean, and remember when we saying niggas come in every shape, size, form, fashion, gender, sex, thought process. So you can be a dude and be a nigga. You can be a woman and be a nigga. You know, you can be, call yourself whatever you want to call it. If you got nigga actions and thoughts, you a nigga. And there's a difference between niggas and black people. So let's not get this twisted. Niggas get their nails done too. And we ain't talking, and when we say, we ain't talking about as in dudes get their nails. No, women with nigga actions, that niggatry. So, I mean, that, you know, that's what it is. I mean, you know, it's some things we agree and disagree about this, what Tyrone got going on.
I mean, I'm not tripping, and the audience should be able to hear from the conversation that ain't nobody tripping. I mean.
I'm just pointing out that, you know, I mean, we do disagree on certain points, but overall we do get that. Neither one of us would advise anybody to do it in this manner. I'm not saying, we're not saying, no, don't fuck nobody up. Or don't fuck shit up. We ain't saying that, but we just saying do it right and make sure that it's planned out.
Yeah, you fuck a motherfucker up, but make sure that it's planned out and make sure that the people you getting ready to fuck somebody up for, did they actually want you to fuck them up? Don't just go around the block. And we have these same conversations with regards to dudes. You know, people oftentimes be like, I don't interfere with domestic disputes because you'll step in for a chick and then she'll get mad and fuck you up because that's her man. Okay, well, if you can understand that in those scenarios, which I think is ridiculous anyways, but if you can understand it in that scenario, the same way people act individually in scenarios, those same principles apply to cultures. The black women that are being mistreated by these stores are not going to these stores. Before you start fucking these stores up and getting mad at the black women that continue to go there, you need to communicate with the black women that continue to go there. Why do you continue to go here? You've never been mistreated. Are you sure? You know, and I know some people are like, what you mean, are you sure? Yeah, you got to ask a motherfucker if they sure now.
Yeah, you got to think about that shit.
Yeah, motherfuckers don't think about shit. They just give you an answer.
I mean, not because
you're mistreated. Are you
cause
sure?
It's like one of the, on my sports podcast, one thing my guest Justin Hill and I were talking about. Like, there's a certain way you can talk to me that I won't take it as disrespect, but other people will. And that's because I'm used to motherfuckers talking to me like that. Now, is it right? Probably not. Is it disrespectful? Probably is. But I don't take it as that because it's still not worse than the motherfucker that told me over here. So I'm used to certain ways that people talk. Like when I was at the health department, I used to go in there and make my supervisor cuss me out just to make sure he was all right. But that's not smart. But it's when you condition a certain way of existing, the way you perceive things is going to be different than other people. So we have to get that and understand that. Like, there's a lot of people who are out here who are abused and who are getting neglected and stepped on and oppressed, but they may not know because the way that they've been existing for the longest. So.
And that goes back to what we said earlier. There's a lot of groundwork. And that's one of the things I wish modern activists would understand. There's a lot of groundwork that has to be put in place in terms of understanding and changing the mindset of the people you're trying to help before you actually involve in activity. And yeah. if you just try to jump straight
to
action,
homework.
Right. If you just try to jump straight to action, you're not going to have the support necessary to create any real change. And so now, I'm sure this brother is going to, and this is another reason why I'm critical of activists, because I hold activists to a higher standard. An activist is supposed to be somebody that is part historian, part social justice worker. And they should understand enough of history to understand how to utilize history to create change in the present. But this brother, I'm sure, and everybody around him is probably championing him as some sort of hero for the people. And the fact of the matter is he failed in his endeavor. And he failed in his endeavor because from the outside looking in, of course, I don't know all of the specifics, but from the outside looking in, it looks like he failed in his endeavor because he didn't do his fucking homework. And he didn't understand
of course.
He was working with.
Of course, I mean, but what overall, in any pursuit, I don't care if it's activism, I don't care if it's acting, I don't care if it's comedy, I don't care if it's base, do your homework. Have historical perspective on any pursuit that you're getting into so you can be ahead of the curve. Remember, you have to know where you're coming from to know where you're going so you can really understand the game that's being played around you. Once again, racism is a team sport, and we don't play it as a team sport because we don't study that shit. Even though we tell y'all over and over and over and over and over again, but folks don't be listening. But that's just how it is. But, you know, shout out to Tyrone Muhammad, though. Anyway, yeah. and keep doing what you're doing in the community, my brother.
Don't
and shout out to
it like that.
Well, of course, but shout out to everybody in the community who helped him out and held him down. So
yeah, I do think that deserves a shout out. The community members that got together and bailed this brother out. That's beautiful.
Now that same community, y'all get together, put y'all money together, open up your own nail and hair salon, and shut them goddamn Asians out who treating y'all like that. If you can raise money to get him out, you can raise money to build your own. Just put that on your mind.
Yeah.
Hey man, so we're about to wrap this up, man. Remember, you can support the Fix Sports Pod. I mean, not the Fix. You can support the Freedom Train podcast series on all platforms: Radio Public, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. We're on iHeartRadio. What else we on? YouTube.
Matter of fact,
clips on YouTube.
If you find a place where we ain't on, let us know so
let
we
us know.
Can own it.
Yeah, so we everywhere. So y'all support y'all homeboys. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. You can get me directly at JoeWard84 on Twitter. I'll be talking shit on there. The Real Joseph Ward on Instagram, Joseph Ward on Facebook. The podcast is Freedom Train Net on Twitter, Freedom Train Network on Instagram and Facebook. You can get Pat through me. Hit me up, and I'll tell Pat what you said.
I was gonna say, you can't get Pat because Pat ain't nowhere where
right.
you at.
So we're getting down like that. What's your parting shot, Pat?
Oh, I am on the Line app, though, so.
If y'all online, Pat online.
Yeah. It's always funny to say if you online, Pat online. What the fuck? Everybody online. What the fuck that mean? Anyways, party shot, power to the people.
Hey, man. Until we work together, we're going to be single entities out here losing. So remember that. Two fingers in the air like a player because, you know, we just don't care. And we up out of here. I'm Joseph Ward. He is Patrick Urban. This is the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Peace.